Hello all, let me welcome you to Enterprise Solutions. Today we'll be discussing enterprise resource planning. So this is our chapter 2. So without much ado, let us start our exciting journey of ERP. Information in large organization is often very spread, right? And we discussed this in our previous engagements that information is generally siloed. When we talk about large organizations, each department functions as its own island. So what really happens is that every department will have their own set of data, their own set of information, but then it becomes very difficult to collate that information and bring it onto a cohesive platform. And that is the exact concept why ERP came into existence, right? So information in large organizations is often spread across homegrown computers, housed in different functions and different organization units. And these form information islands. As we spoke about. So the maintenance cost of such kind of systems can result into, they'll have a really high maintenance cost, and we can all relate to the Y2K, where the older programs were actually not compatible with the newer versions that were available in the market. So it led to humongous costs for all the organizations. With the advent of e-business, the need to leverage multiple sources of information has been really high. And the point that I'm driving is that the different points of information have to be collated together so that it makes business sense for the business owners, right? So if there are different sets of information coming from different organization units, then all have to work together so that the business leaders can make some informed decisions. We can relate back to the ERP journey to 1960s or the 1970s. So it started with the MRP, that is the material resources planning, and we will delve deeper into it. So MRP as a concept, it includes a set of procedures that converts the forecasted demands into a manufactured products. Now let us understand this, because it's very critical as how the ERP systems came into existence. So in the 1960s, it was all machine driven, right? So all the companies were product centric. And what really needed was a very robust system who could actually forecast the demand and then pass this information onto the shop floor so that the products can be made. So MRP, or the material resources planning, incorporated forecasting demand into a production schedule. Now what really happened is, this is good, but then in the real time, when the shop floor information has to be collated and has to be brought on to a common platform with the inventory units or the after sales or the actual delivery of the goods, then MRP doesn't fit that need. So the shortfall of MRP was that it just controls the workflow information, but that it does not engage into an end-to-end process flow as such. Factory to user, that is the end cycle. So by the time the goods or the raw materials reach the factory, then it is processed into the making of the actual product. Then the product is given to the inventory and then to the dealers, distributors, and to the end customers. Now the entire journey end to end was not captured by MRP, and that was the biggest shortfall of MRP. Also, this MRP system functioned in silos, and we discussed that silos, getting the functions done in a silo is not actually good for our organization. So what happened is, with the next generation of manufacturing software, that was MRP2, was developed to address the shortfalls of MRP1. Now what MRP2 did was, it captured the capacity planning, demand management, production schedule, and the distribution links all together into a platform that we always wanted. And this was really good, right? For the 70s, the organization that were working to get everything developed into a common framework was really good, and it actually helped solve the problems of MRP1. But then again, it was not integrated with the rest of the organization. Now let me just give you a small example. Again, let us go back to our car manufacturer, right? Give you an example, so MRP1, what it did was, it could sense that there was a demand in the market for, say, a four-wheel drives, and it translated this demand planning into the shop floor, and it created workflows and stuff like that. But then it never integrated this information with the different organization units. So say for example, if I have a sales force which is actually making the sale in the client place, if he doesn't have an idea about my production planning or the inventory, it is of no use. Second is, if my finance department doesn't know the health of my organization, say what is the lending period, what are the bills receivable, who are my debtors, who are my creditors, then doesn't solve the purpose, right? Similarly, a critical function like the supply chain management, if it doesn't know that the raw materials are in place, then how would it negotiate contracts with the suppliers or the vendors to get that those raw materials in place? So what was needed was all the vendors, partners, suppliers to come onto a platform. So MRP2, yes, did the functions to an extent, but then it was not a fully equipped system as such. Right. So even MRP2 as a specialized tool, although it was designed to serve the needs of the manufacturing function within the company, but then it really couldn't scale up. The data and processes were not really integrated with the rest of the enterprise, as we just explained. Also, a key shortfall of MRP was that it was very specific to the manufacturing organization. So, say if that particular ERP or that particular package has to be applied to another industry, so say for example a BFSI industry or a services industry, then it would not really scale up really well. Although a critical point to understand is that before the 1990s, the service industry was not really very prevalent in the market, right? Because it was mainly a product-led economy and not a service-led economy. So there was little focus on services such as telecom or hospitality and stuff like that. So MRP2, to an extent, was catering really well to the needs of the production units and the manufacturing organizations. Now let us come to ERP, our really good friend. So ERP entered the scene to facilitate this information sharing between the different functions and the organization as such. Now what is ERP? So ERP is a software architecture that facilitates the flow of information amongst the different functions in the organization. So it's just like information sharing, but then it makes information sharing really very powerful, so that this information can be used by the business owners to help get them the right decisions, help them win the customer confidence, and in turn increase the sales and profitability. So what does ERP actually do? ERP integrates the information across the different organizations. There could be different modules. So say for example, something like a sales planning, there could be a finance module, there could be a material management module, there could be a HRMS module. So all these modules can be linked together. And the critical part is, and ERP actually addresses the shortfall of MRP2, that is, it could link the end-to-end supply chain, or it could link the end-to-end value in a particular organization. So right from my customers to my vendors, suppliers, partners, and my internal stakeholders. So all those, all the stakeholders can be brought to a common platform. So just to summarize, ERP basically did two things. One, it provided an integrated solution, and second, all the organization functions could be included on this platform, and this could also include all the third-party vendors, right? So ERP provides the backbone of any enterprise-wide information system. At the core of the ERP solution is a central database. And why is this important? Because this central database can be accessed by everyone, and this information can be accessed in real time, so that the time is saved, the effort to market the product in the market is saved, and it brings in more cost efficiencies. Now it also handles the security aspect of information sharing. Now how is it possible? Because as per the ERP and the different users accessing it, there could be different role based access that could be put in the systems. So say for example, if I am say a vendor, right, who supply a raw material to a company, then I should not be given access to the financial data of the organization. Or say if I am the sales rep, then I should not be given access to look at the payroll information of the different employees. So this is just the role of a typical HR person, right? So he should be able to see the payroll data of different people. So ERP2 can access the can help this segregation of roles between the different users. So the security is absolutely taken care of in a ERP. We can have role-based access controls in a ERP system. So the data needs to be entered only once in a ERP system, and because of the nature in which the system is designed, it provides consistent visibility to the entire organization. Now what I mean is that although it provides information, but then based on your roles and responsibilities, you'll be able to get access to those data. Okay, now let us look at what the primary benefit of a ERP is. The primary benefit of a ERP is easier access to reliable and integrated information. Just to sum up the concept of a ERP, so it's an integrated system. It provides a common platform for all the vendors, partners, and all the different functions. So all the different business units in an organization are integrated, and it's aligned with the company goals. So the enterprise resource planning in itself is just a subset of the enterprise solutions. Primarily, it's a combination of business practices and technology, where IT integrates with the company's core business process to enable the achievement of the company specific objectives. And this is the heart of every ERP system. So key characteristic of an ERP, first, it is flexible and modular, so it has to adjust to the needs. Second, it should be comprehensive enough so that all the functionalities are included. Third, it should incorporate the best practices that are there in the industry. And fourth, it should bring in the best of the technologies that are there in the market. And it should change to the continuously changing business landscape or the IT landscape. So if there are new things like machine learning which could help us get some better user behavior and in turn help better solutions, then those should be a part of the ERP solution. So the system should be scalable enough to incorporate all such changes. Now let us look at a typical block diagram of a ERP solution and how it how it gives value to end-to-end all the stakeholders in the end-to-end chain. So let us look at this diagram. On the left-hand side, what we see is the customer, and the customers are basically interacted by the front office or the sales representatives and the service representatives. On the extreme right, you see the back-end operations. So this would be the likes of inventory management, the financial management. And on the extreme right, there are the vendors or the partners who supply raw materials and other stuff to the company. So you can see it's an end-to-end value chain. On the right-hand side, these are my vendors. On the left-hand side is my end user. Now, ERP as a system can be used to feed in the customer-specific information into a master database, which you see at the center. So this master database forms the heart of every ERP system. This master database can be accessed by the front end guys, that is the sales guys, the service guys, and also the back end functions. So say like the HRMS function, the manufacturing function, the inventory management, the capacity planning. So these functions should also be having access to the master database. And in the center, what you see is obviously the master database, but a very robust reporting mechanism. So the MIS reports, or the any kind of financial reports that are derived from for the entire organization, can be derived from a information from a database like this, so which would help us link the suppliers and the customers. So it could be accessed by the finance teams, the data can be accessed by the HR teams, it could be accessed by the sales representatives, it could be accessed by the inventory teams and all the different business units in the organization. Now this helps us address a very critical point which MRP1 and MRP2 didn't touch upon, right? A central database and information which is present to all the stakeholders in this organization. So integrated backend, integrated front end, integrated customers, partners, vendors, and integrated functions. So this is the heart of every ERP system. Okay, so let us look at some of the key dimensions of the ERP. So one, it is one are the masters. So what I mean by that is you just need to make an entry into the system only once and from a single point, and this information is then spread across or is available to different parts of the organization. Just to give you an example, so say when raw materials are actually punched into the system, this information is available to the shop floor, it is available to the demand planning team, it is available to the supply team, it is available to the inventory team, right? And obviously the sales team as well. So that if there is a mismatch in terms of the raw materials and the demand forecast, then it could be addressed there itself. Second is the transactions. So transactions are nothing but the day-to-day entry of the different transactions that keep happening. So say for example, if things that move into an organization, you make a inward entry, and similarly when a finished good goes to the inventory, you have to make an outward entry. Then there are certain queries which could be run, and these are basically key based. So any kind of queries or reports that I need to run, I can query the database and I can fetch those business critical reports. And last is the processing. So the standardized procedures used to convert from one form to the other. These are basically, so in any kind of processing logic that I need to build in my system. So say a raw material coming in, it getting processed and then going on to the second stage. So such kind of processing can be developed. Two critical points. One are the reports. We mentioned that reports are so very critical for any organization which functions together. So all the reports, like something like a business intelligence report or a data warehousing report, or any kind of reports which relate to the financial health of organization, those could be fetched. And a very strong document system, so that say the documents can be scanned. If say the finished goods are delivered, then the e-way bills or the GST bills can be scanned and can be uploaded in the system for the actual calculation of the invoices. Now let us look at a typical first generation of ERP and the different components that are present in an ERP. So for a manufacturing function, what really matters is the material planning and the capacity planning. Now these are modules which are either built or can be customized as per the organization need. So generally the procedures are 80-90% fixed. So basically these are pre-packaged workflows, and if required they can be customized. We will see how the ERPs and the different categorization of the ERPs are done. But then yes, so 80-90% of the workflows are generally standardized. The way the systems are designed, it takes into account all the different functional aspects, and mind you, it takes a really long time to develop a package like ERP and then link the different modules. So just to come back to our point, the first generation ERP and the different components. So for a manufacturing function, it could incorporate something like material planning and capacity planning. For the manufacturing, again the shop floor controls and the quality management is important, so that is again incorporated. For the distribution and logistics, which is an important part of the end-to-end value chain, things like the customer information file, the sales order processing, inventory management, the stores management, vendor database and procurement information are captured. From the finance perspective, the bills receivable, the bills payable, general ledger, the overall financial health, so everything can be derived from the financials, the invoicing, the asset management, right? So these functions or this information is really important for our finance function. If you talk about HR function or the HR management function, then employee payroll data is really important. The employee database itself is important. So these are some of the business functions that ERP is able to incorporate in itself, and the different kinds of reports and the different kinds of information that it can incorporate. So ERPs, as we have seen so far, are primarily targeted only to the manufacturing sector, right? But then as time went on, there were different companies for which ERP was needed. So we took the example of automobiles, right? So automobiles is a classic case of a manufacturing organization. Similar kind of ERPs were developed for aerospace, for chemicals, for pharma companies, for electronic companies, because the nature of business is similar. So again, they are into the same manufacturing domain, but then the value chain for a pharma company might be different from actual manufacturing or an automobile company. So the ERP actually helps us to address those points. And today's ERP have evolved to cover most of the other industry verticals as well. So if I talk about the retail segment, or if I talk about the financial segment, so a very simple example would be a core banking software, entire infrastructure that goes into a bank for addressing the customer needs, right from the loans to savings account to the entire wealth management, is a part of the core banking software, correct? So the core banking software is also considered as a ERP for the finance domain, and then it could be the different utilities. So the deployment of the ERP, it takes a real long time, as I just mentioned, because it can be really complex at times, correct? So just to understand ERP, where it is used, it could be applied to each and every industry segment, be it finance, retail, utilities, manufacturing companies, pharma, and then you can have different kinds of categorization of ERPs for, say, small enterprise, medium enterprise, and we'll dive deep into those. So we just saw that ERP as a function or ERP as a system can be used everywhere in all different domains. Now let us see the concept of ERP in a more deeper way. So ERP, as we understand, it's basically a package where the different suppliers, vendors, and the different functions can be brought together. So it's basically a IT package which could be used by the different stakeholders. Now this ERP can be given as a package, as a ready to use package, or it can have some kind of customization and which could address the business needs, and then it could be deployed in an organization. So when it is served as it is called as the vanilla flavor, or you know, the vanilla implementation, when ERP as entire package is deployed as it is. And sometimes when it needs customization, the workflows in my organization, which is into manufacturing, but then my workflows are different as compared to, say, the other organization, then I would need some kind of customization. So this is also called as parameterization. For such kind of needs, ERP has to be customized. If my business, or if I run a company which is into the SMB space or the mid-market space, then I would really like to have the ERP as it is, because SMBs would not typically spend a lot of time in customization, right? So here a very important concept is that of decoupling. So whenever a ERP is launched, so say for example if it is customized or a vanilla flavored, then decoupled application is really important when we talk about an entire software package. Now you will tell me, Anuj, I didn't understand, give me an example, right? So say if I launch a material management module in a ERP which helps me to solve the needs of the material planning, this module has to be designed and it has to be developed such that it functions on its own, and it has got some linkages with the other modules, but then it can be deployed as it is without affecting the other modules. So say if I am a SMB customer, again into manufacturing, and I am interested only in the manufacturing or the material management module of a ERP, and I do not want the HR module in the ERP, then it has to be modular enough, or it has to be decoupled, so that it cannot affect the entire function of the entire system. So in practice, what is really observed is that 80-90% of the procedures in the ERP are standardized, and only 10-20% of the procedures really need some kind of customization. and it depends upon a variety of different factors like the nature of the business, what kind of business workflows exist in that organization, and there could be other factors such as the final product, the current procedures, the level of maturity of the executives, the different kind of customers, the different vendor interactions and so on. This would actually require some kind of customization. So what is the real need of the ERP? And let us dive deep into why the ERP was needed. We spoke about each function in an organization which works as a silo, right? So to harmonize all the operations, ERP was really needed. Second is the reporting structure. Now, because each function was siloed, each function had its own reporting standards. So the reports never used to cut across the entire organization. So the EDP or the enterprise data processing was really not that effective and powerful that the business owners could take informed decisions through it. So that was the real need of the ERP. So basically the three key needs that ERP would address. First is to meet the customer expectations, or rather to exceed the expectations as we call it in the industry, right? Now, why customers are important? Because those are the heart of every business. We took an example of a bank, right? If the customer database is wiped off, then the bank will just have to file for bankruptcy, right? So the important aspect is to meet and in fact exceed the customer expectation. Second is incorporate the workflows, and these workflows, mind you, have to be business aligned so that they make actual sense. And the third is to provide a common platform so that the stakeholders can take the right decisions. So basically three key challenges that ERP addresses. One is the customer expectations. Second is the business process that can support the objectives of the industry. And third are the IT systems that support the business processes and provide the right information for decision making. Now, what does it take to actually meet the customer expectations, or in fact even exceed the customer expectations? One is, yes, the excellent product that you deliver. Yes, but then how is that excellent product delivered? It is delivered through the business performance, through organization efficiencies, through standard operating procedures, so that even if there is some lapse, it gets covered, so that there are no random procedures as such. And fourth is the right information and the timely nature of information which can be used by the decision making at all levels. Let us discuss the second aspect. We said that there were three critical aspects. One was the customer information, one was the IT systems, and one was the business landscape. So second, let us explore the needs, or let us explore the IT systems. Now, how can you have IT systems that support the right business procedures and provide the right information for decision making